caught in the dark with a radio spark. Meet me where the most light falls. Listening to Where the Most Light Falls with DJ Tamara on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. DJ Tamara. We'll be listening to music by Roy Todd. This is a piece called Child of the Troubles. I'm recording in my living room next to the fireplace with my two dogs sitting nearby. So occasionally you will hear them sigh or hear their feet cross the floor. Maybe even a little whimper for attention. It's real life. I'm home alone on a Saturday night. Let's make the most of it. I'm going to read some poetry from Mary Oliver's book called Felicity. I'll begin with, nothing is too small not to be wondered about. The cricket doesn't wonder if there's a heaven, or if there is, if there's room for him. It's fall. Romance is over. Still, he sings. If he can, he enters a house through the tiniest crack under the door. Then the house grows colder. He sings slower and slower, then nothing. This must mean something. I don't know what. But certainly it doesn't mean he hasn't been an excellent cricket all his life. Whistling swans. Do you bow your head when you pray, or do you look up into that blue space? Take your choice. Prayers fly from all directions. And don't worry about what language you use. God, no doubt, understands them all. Even when the swans are flying north and making such a ruckus of noise, God is surely listening and understanding. Rumi said, there is no proof of the soul. But isn't the return of spring and how it springs up in our hearts a pretty good hint? Yes, I know, God's silence never breaks, but is that really a problem? There are thousands of voices, after all. And furthermore, don't you imagine, I just suggest it, that the swans know about as much as we do about the whole business? So listen to them and watch them singing as they fly. Take from it what you can. We'll continue to listen to Roy Todd with an album called Piano Essence. The next Mary Oliver poem is called Storage. When I moved from one house to another, there were many things I had no room for. What does one do? I rented a storage space and filled it. Years passed. Occasionally I went there and looked in, but nothing happened. Not a single twinge of the heart. As I grew older, the things I cared about grew fewer, but were more important. So one day, I undid the lock and called the trash man. He took everything. I felt like the little donkey when his burden is finally lifted. Things. Burn them. Burn them. Make a beautiful fire. More room in your heart for love, for the trees, for the birds who own nothing. The reason they can fly. Humility. Poems arrive ready to begin. Poets are the only transportation. For Tom Shaw, 1945 to 2014. Where has this cold come from? It comes from the death of your friend. Will I always, from now on, be this cold? No, it will diminish, but always it will be with you. What is the reason for it? Wasn't your friendship always as beautiful as a flame? That tall distance. That tall distance where the clouds begin, the forge that pounds out the lightning, and the black porch where the stars are dressed in light, and arrangement is made for the moon's path. It's these I think of now, after a lifetime of goldfinches, meandering streams, lambs playing, the passionate hands of the sun, the coolness under the trees, talking leaf to leaf. The foxes and the otters sliding on the snow. The dolphins for whom no doubt the seas were created. The spray of swallows gathering in autumn. After all of that, the tall distance is what I think of now. This morning the red bird's eggs have hatched, and already the chicks are chirping for food. They don't know where it's coming from. They just keep shouting, more, more. As to anything else, they haven't had a single thought. Their eyes haven't opened yet. They know nothing about the sky that's waiting, or the thousands, the millions of trees. They don't even know they have wings. And just like that, like a simple neighborhood event, a miracle is taking place. Next section of Mary Oliver's book, Felicity, is called Love. And she begins it with a quote from Rumi. Someone who does not run toward the allure of love walks a road where nothing lives. When did it happen? When did it happen? It was a long time ago. Where did it happen? It was far away. No, tell. Where did it happen? In my heart. What is your heart doing now? Remembering. Remembering. The first day after you left, I jumped up and down. I clapped my hands. I stared into space. In those days, I was starving for happiness. So say it was both silly and serious. Say it was the first warm sting of possibility. Say I sensed the spreading warmth of joy. I know someone. I know someone who kisses the way a flower opens, but more rapidly. Flowers are sweet. They have short, beatific lives. They offer much pleasure. There is nothing in the world that can be said against them. Sad, isn't it, that all they can kiss is the air? Yes. Yes, we are the lucky ones. No, I've never been to this country. No, I'd never been to this country before. No, I didn't know where the roads would lead me. No, I didn't intend to turn back. I did think, let's go about this slowly. I did think, let's go about this slowly. This is important. This should take some really deep thought. We should take small, thoughtful steps. But bless us, we did not. This and that. In this early dancing of a new day, dogs leaping on the beach, dolphins leaping not far from shore, someone is bending over me, is kissing me slowly. How do I love you? How do I love you? Oh, this way and that way. Oh, happily. Perhaps I may elaborate by demonstration. Like this, and like this, and no more words now. That little beast. That pretty little beast, a poem, has a mind of its own. Sometimes I want it to crave apples, but it wants red meat. Sometimes I want to walk peacefully on the shore, and it wants to take off all its clothes and dive in. Sometimes I want to use small words and make them important, and it starts shouting the dictionary, the opportunities. Sometimes I want to sum up and give thanks, putting things in order, and it starts dancing around the room on its four furry legs, laughing and calling me outrageous. But sometimes, when I'm thinking about you and no doubt smiling, it sits down quietly, one paw under its chin, and just listens. What this is not. This is not just surprise and pleasure. This is not just beauty, sometimes too hot to touch. This is not a blessing with a beginning and an end. This is not just a wild summer. This is not conditional. Everything that was broken, everything that was broken has forgotten its brokenness. I live now in a sky house. Through every window, the sun. Also, your presence, our touching, our stories, earthy and holy both. How can this be? But it is. Every day has something in it whose name is forever. Well, that one made me cry. How about you? Except for the body. Except for the body of someone you love, including all its expressions in privacy and in public. Trees, I think, are the most beautiful forms on the earth. Though, admittedly, if this were a contest, the trees would come in an extremely distant second. Not anyone who says, I'm going to be careful and smart in matters of love, who says, I'm going to choose slowly. But only those lovers who didn't choose at all, but were, as it were, chosen by something invisible and powerful and uncontrollable and beautiful and possibly even unsuitable. Only those know what I'm talking about in this talking about love. This poem's called The Pond. August of another summer, and once again I am drinking the sun, and the lilies again are spread across the water. I know now what they want is to touch each other. I have not been here for many years, during which time I kept living my life. Like the heron who can only croak, who wishes he could sing, I wish I could sing. A little thanks from every throat would be appropriate. This is how it has been, and this is how it is. All my life I have been able to feel happiness, except whatever was not happiness, which I also remember. But just now it is summer again, and I am watching the lilies bow to each other, then slide on the wind, and the tug of desire, close, close to one another. Soon now I'll turn and start for home, and who knows, maybe I'll be singing. That poem reminds me of being at Rivendell Writers Colony. I was so fortunate to have a residency there for about a week. Actually, it was 2 weeks in August of 2017. It was a marvelous time. The pond house was beautiful, and I courted the bullfrogs late into the evening. This poem's called Late Spring. Finally, the world is beginning to change. Its fever's mounting, its leaves unfolding. and the mockingbirds find ample reason and breath to fashion new songs. They do. You can count on it. As for lovers, they are discovering new ways to love. Listen, their windows are open. You can hear them laughing. Without spring, who knows what would happen? A lot of nothing, I suppose. The leaves are all in motion now, the way a young boy rows and rows in his wooden boat, just to get anywhere. Late, but now lovely and lovelier, and the two of us together, a part of it. A house or $1 million. People do it, some out of desperation, others out of greed. They steal. The very powerful and clever might steal a whole house or $1 million. It's been done. But what does it matter? Love is the one thing the heart craves, and love is the one thing you can't steal. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose a single thread from the intricate brocade of this happiness. I want to remember everything, which is why I'm lying awake, sleepy, but not sleepy enough to give it up. Just now, a moment from years ago, the early morning light, the deft, sweet gesture of your hand reaching for me. I have just said something ridiculous to you, and in response, your glorious laughter. These are the days the sun is swimming back to the east, and the light on the water gleams as never it seems before. I can't remember every spring. I can't remember everything. So many years. Are the morning kisses the sweetest, or the evenings, or the in-betweens? All I know is that thank you should appear somewhere. So just in case I can't find the perfect place, thank you. Thank you. The gift. Be still, my soul, and steadfast. Earth and heaven both are still watching, though time is draining from the clock, and your walk, that was confident and quick, has become slow. So, be slow if you must, but let the heart still play its true part. Love still as you once loved, deeply and without patience. Let God and the world know you are grateful. That the gift has been given. The next section of this book by Mary Oliver is called Felicity. And again, there's a quote from Rumi. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. A voice from I don't know where. It seems you love this world very much. Yes, I said, this beautiful world. And you don't mind the mind that keeps you busy all the time with its dark and bright wanderings? No, I'm quite used to it. Busy all the time. And you don't mind living with those questions? I mean, the hard ones that no one can answer. Actually, they're the most interesting. And you have a person in your life whose hand you'd like to hold? Yes, I do. It must surely then be very happy down there in your heart. Yes, I said. It is. I'm going to read from the back of the book about Mary Oliver. Born in a small town in Ohio, Oliver published her first book of poetry in 1963 at the age of 28. Over the course of her long career, she has received numerous awards. Her fourth book, American Primitive, won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry in 1984. She has led workshops and held residencies at various colleges and universities, including Bennington College, where she held the Catherine Osgood Foster Chair for Distinguished Teaching. Oliver currently lives in Florida. And I've been reading from Felicity, published by Penguin Press. Let's have a break. I'd like to invite you to get some paper and pen and just write while you listen to this next song from Roy Todd. If you want to write a poem, you can. Or if you just want to write whatever's in your heart, let that be the start to something. Are you still writing? I hope so. Let's go on for about 3 more minutes. Thank you. As you start to finish up your brief writing, your brief sketch of an idea, I'd like to invite you to submit something to me, and maybe I can read it on the show. You can send it to me at tamaramilessc@gmail.com. And actually, I forgot, I have a new email address just for the show. It's called wherethemostlightfalls@gmail.com. Either way, you can send it to me by email or on Facebook or on Twitter. I'm at TamaraMilesSC if you want to send a direct message. Alright, let's go back to some poetry. And, appropriately enough, this poetry will come from the December 2018 edition of Poetry. I'm reading from Christian Wiman, The Parable of Perfect Silence. Today I woke and believed in nothing. A grief at once intimate and unfelt, like the death of a good friend's dog. Tired of the mind reaching back in the past for rescue, I praise the day. I don't mean merely some mythical, isolate instant, like the mindless mindfulness specialist who, at the terminal cancer convention, not that it was called that, exhorted the New Year's crop of slaughters, ditto, to taste the day, this one unreplicable instant of being alive. The chicken glistened. Nor do I mean a day devoid of past and future, as craved that great craze of minds and times, Fernando Pessoa, who wanted not the present, but reality itself, things in their thinginess rather than the time that measures them. Time is in the table at which I sit and in the words I type. In the red checked shirt my father's mother used to wear when she was gardening, and which I kept because it held her smell, though it does no longer. There is still plenty of time. Two murderers keep their minds alive while they wait to die. They talk through slots in their doors of whatever mercy or misery the magazine has ordained for the day. The resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan, say, 10 signs that a relationship is on the rocks. When their communion flags, as communions will, they rekindle it with personal revelations, philosophical digressions, humor. This is a true story, one of them says sometimes by way of preface, as if that gave the moment more gravity. Asked of the listener a different attention, at once resisted and reinforced an order wherein every hour has its sound, every day its grace, and every death is by design. Love is possible for anyone, I hear the TV talk show host say, which is true in the way most things in this life are true, which is to say false, unless and until the nullifying, catalyzing death is felt. Love is possible for anyone because it is equally impossible for everyone. To be is to be confronted with a void, a blankness, a blackness that both appeals and appalls. Once known by the void, I mean, one has three choices. Walk away and unlearn the instinct of awe. Walk along and learn to believe that awe asks nothing of you. Are you with me, love? For love, read faith. Naked once and after a rat, my father cried, "Die, vermin, die!" banging the broomstick over and over on the floor, so incorrigibly dirty it might as well have been the earth itself. This is my mother's story, though I was there, I'm told. And no small part of the pandemonium. We were five souls crammed into one life, and so incorrigibly poor. Or was that fear, We all slept in one room and shared one great big chest of drawers, as we called it, and not with irony, but in earnest ignorance, just as like meant lack, as in how much do you like being done with your chemo? And just as I and every other child I knew, before we tucked into our lemon meringue pie, solemnly wiped the calf slobbers off. Ah, local color, peasant levity, the language fuming and steaming rich as the mist of rot that rises off the compost heap. Kitchen midden, you might hear an old Scot still say. When do we first know that there's a world to which we've been, not oblivious exactly, but so inside we couldn't see it, who now see nothing else? Heaven is over. Or hell. Did you forget the rat? It thumps and thrashes like a poltergeist inside the chest of drawers, but somehow, though my father is fast, and though his rage is becoming real, every drawer he opens is empty. What happens when we die? Every child of every father eventually asks. What happens when we don't is the better question. To kill a wasp on water is the peak of speed. My brother, who is other, has a mind of lead. I, with my stinging griefs, watch from away. How can it be there are no adults left? What matters here is timing, not time. His hand is high and white above the blue. A wasp is also atom and urge, hover and touch. Even wings are not a clean distinction. Down comes the slap like a rifle shot. What vengeance can there be on a blank necessity? My brother, who is other, has a way. His hand is high and white, and then it's not. Once, when my father's mother's health was failing, and she found it more and more difficult to tend to the tiny family plot at Champion, Texas, which is less town than time at this point, a blink of old buildings and older longings, the rare driver flashes past. I took it upon myself to salt the graves, as I must have read somewhere would work for unwanted growth. As indeed it did. In the months after, every Sunday when we spoke, she thanked me for the blankness, the blackness, my words, of course, this new ease I had allowed her mind. Until one day, leaning over with flowers, the leached earth opened and my 80-year-old grandmother tumbled right down among the bones of the woman from whom she'd first emerged. To see that image, you have to be that sky. It has to happen in you, that crushing, calling, viewless blue that is so deeply in you that it is not you. Oh, law, honey, I like to die. You don't climb out of poverty so much as carry it with you. Some shell themselves with wealth. Some get and spend, skimming existence like a Jesus lizard. But for those whose souls have known true want, whose souls perhaps are true want, money remains, in some sense, permanently inert, like an erotic thought that flashes through a eunuch's brain. In 1980, my father bought his first airplane, a screen-proof four-seater we crammed five inside, which he considerately slammed into a sorghum field alone. Unkillable, he killed the next 10 years with work and wives, then bought another and brought it down in the solitary fire that was his aspect and atmosphere. Homes, schemes, 30 years of savings plowed into a sign company that did not, it turned out, exist. A hole is hard to carry. People ask if I believe in God, and the verb is so tedious to me. Not wrong, not offensive, not intrusive, not embarrassing, tedious. Today I saw a hawk land on Elizabeth's chimney. It sat with its bone frown and banker's breast above the proud houses of Hampden. Are you with me? Then see, too, a lump of animate ash rising from the flue, or so it seems, to be a pigeon fluttering dumbly down next to that implacable raptor, suddenning a world of strange relations wherein there is no need for fear or far or meat. There was a man made of airplane parts, one of which was always missing. He wandered the hospital grounds in search of a rudder, an aileron, or some other fragment that would have let him fly from this place where he was not meant to be. There was a woman who emitted invective ceaselessly, dispassionately, an obscenity machine. One timid gentleman saved saran wrap for 5 full years, and every night wrought an ever more solid ball with which, it turned out, he planned to bash the skull of the first soul he saw. The dawn God blessed his weapon. A success story, alas. Another man with anvil hands sat 6 months of nights in faith that there would come occasion of darkness, unguardedness, and vision sufficient to rip from its socket one of my father's bright blue eyes. Ditto. My father moved among them like a father. He attended and pacified. He instructed and consoled. Late to the trade, he worked too much and trusted his heart, no doubt, more than he should, but was, by all accounts, at this one thing, and despite the end, good. For love, read faith into these lines that so obviously lack it. For love, let words turn to life in the way life turns to world under the observer's eye. The swirl of particles with their waves and entanglements, their chance and havoc, resolving into some one thing, a raptor on a rooftop, say. No power on earth can make it stay, but is it lost or released into formlessness when we look away? To be is to believe that the man or woman who inscribed with an idiosyncratic but demanding calligraphy, fuck the money, trust no one, on the rough blanket of the residential motel where my father spent the last 2 years of his rough residential life, intended the note of defiant, self-conscious, humor that left my father, whom I had not seen in years, and I, whom years had seen grown sere, far even from myself, erupting in laughter until we cried. Before my good friend's dog died, 10 times a day she pressed her forehead to his to confirm the world and her place in it. Now she won't even say his name. Strange how the things that burn worst in one heart, one must keep silent to keep. 10 to 1, you thought of men, the murderers, I mean. But no, this is a true story. There is another cell, you see, in which a woman I have known since childhood, and since childhood have known to be, suspended on a wire of time, but nimble-witted nonetheless, lies on the cold stone floor. She is even more naked than they have made her. She has killed no one, not even herself. Punishment, perhaps, or some contagion of fate, finds her here, her hair shorn, both wrists wrapped, her eyes open, pondering the parable of perfect silence. Remember, he said, memory is a poor man's prison. Make to have and to love one live infinitive. Then blessed my brow with the sign of the cross. I woke without a chance to ask the obvious, but what if all our songs are songs of loss? I felt nothing when you died, Father, as if I ever called you that. It is a long, cold seep, this grief. The day itself was hot enough to make the devil sweat, or more than one person with less than one mind muttered to me what I remember. 2 children, 2 tan and clad in famine, Dahlberg, look up from their parched front yard, their sad little sprinkler like a flower of hell. I don't mean I saw them, though I did. I mean they are what I remember, fleshed. That town, a hint of new prison business, and the square's been re-whitened, but mostly it's beastly. A blast sight, our old house less house than nest, and even the undertaker, a friend from high school, has graduated to heroin. You would have been right at home, and I guess in a ghoulish way you were, overdressed. Overdosed, over. Hard wind at the graveside, hard lives hardly there. The canopy whipped and flapped, a bouquet skipped over the graves like a strange elation. Something stuck, and an ageless Indian. He might have been Mom's long-dead granddad, nimbled over the casket's contraptions to make it go. You go into the ground again, and the silence assaults like heat, and the clumps of would-be grievers unclump and head for cars, and Mom cracks a tall boy and two jokes before we're on the highway. The first I forget, and the second I recall only a nakedness and wild crying and a rat. When the doctor said I'd likely die, I thought of my father telling me he'd learned to read a cancer look, that some people had it before they had it, so to speak. When the young guard demanded to unwrap the Snickers I'd bought for my sister, my father scoffed. All this energy expended on candy when you could take this can. He held her Coke up in front of our eyes and cut a throat. When my sister, chewing her chocolate with ravenous indifference, paused and stared balefully off at the even more baleful brown beyond the barbed wire, it did not occur to me that it was inspiration. When I began writing these lines, it was not, to be sure, inspiration, but desperation, to be alive, to believe again in the love of God. The love of God is not a thing one comprehends, but that by which and only by which one is comprehended. It is like the child's time of pre-reflective being, and like that time we learn it by its lack. Flashes and fragments, these images are not facets of some unknowable whole, but entire existences in themselves, like worlds that under God's gaze sheer and sheer and impossibly are. Untouching, entangled, sustained, free. If all love demands imagination, all love demands withdrawal. We must create the life creating us and must allow that life to be, and to be beyond perhaps whatever we might imagine. I too am more and less than anything I imagine myself to be. To know this, says Simon Well, is forgiveness. It is an air you enter, not an act you make. It is the will's frustration and it is the will's fruition. It is to wade ablaze one night that I once crossed, a young man and lost, to find a woman made of weather sweeping the street in front of her shack. It is another country. It is a language I don't know. La puraya, la puraya, I repeat in my sleep. The one over there, the over there. Tired of the mind reaching back in the past for rescue, I praise the day my father woke in the motel room where all five of us were sleeping, which is not even past, but a flame as I say it and see it, the little lighter now he is using to find his clothes. I, who have not slept in 45 years, am awake for the first time, rising carefully out of my pallet on the floor and feeling my way beyond the bodies of my brother and sister toward the shade that is my father, to stand in this implausible light where to whisper would be too much. And anyway, what's next is known, Dad and near. The nowhere diner, hot chocolate in the funny pages, and the consolation that comes when there is nothing to console. That was The Parable of Perfect Silence by Christian Wiman. I'll read a few short poems. The next two are by Martha Zwig. The Breakfast Nook. We'd pout. Our mother, brisking off, urged, "Darlings, your vitamins and minerals dissolve inside with the milk and this and that," into instructions, rejiggering more vitamins, minerals, milk, and this and that to fizz up and turn into actual you or me or anybody and etc. Experiment. You might let drop capsules and milk into spit in one another's cups. Watch, wait, think, add, stir. I'll be right back. One day it quits. The whole business quits. Imagine that. Mutt mix. Poor devil. Dog 6 years on a tether, clipped to a cubby box. The sun dropped into a slot on one side and after a dark spell propped up on the other. Birds of a weather chattered along wires overhead and the yards around shrilled emergencies. Who knew? Once upon afternoon, a dust demon spins itself up in the master's tumbleweed to his match scratch. Puff, mega blaze, and 4 hours ruckus until doused out. I'll bask 3 days in wonders. I'll slobber and yawn. I'll gnaw and grunt in my groin to my heart's content. They say death changes a body's mind about things. Master shuts up and just rots. This poem is by Julian Randall. It's called Flex. Hear me. Neglect turned everything to gold, Midas touch. I turned the comfortable to the dead, an anti-elegy though. I'm learning not to mourn what I make. It's a complex, this gravity I birth unknowing. Not my complex, yours, say it. I am owned by several things, all of them inherited from a horizon claimed before I was languaged. Invoke the historical something, something, something chains, something, something, something unworthy. I'm citizen of a clumsy imperative. Belonging is a concern of a self-eidetted past participle, implies the historical is a mob. Try again. I mobbed my own lonely and was legion. Play some offense then. Gold the impossible wound, citizen of betrayal. Citizen of the going, 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 recursion, this fugitive state as native to me as my father's eyes, chestnut of a tree fell before we were languaged. See, inheritance is a hell of a drug. We black and highly valued for our flex. I said what I said and became citizen of this petty excuse for forever. Flex on them then, invocation of the bicep I have and the bicep throttling me. I live here now, Mississippi, and everywhere is everywhere that someone may have escaped from. Fugitive. A sad motivation for river. It's a strange thing, that belief you are beautiful be a subversion of the water. But here I am, winter gasping at the conditions, too weak to even strangle the grass to soil. No, instead, trees feathered with their hollowed offspring. Here the wind don't howl, just blooms a militia of castanets. 7 people were lynched here. I looked it up, and nobody will tell me which tree. You are not as tired of the image as I am of uncertainty. Every day the rain threatens. Every day my same imperious lonely. Hear me, the sun ran like a punk. The sun ran like it owed. Not even the gold is trustworthy. Why gold? Because it was the color of my love, and by extension, the life I buried here. Gold, the genesis of one lonely. My ancestors were traded mere miles from here. Gold, the genesis of another. I know they are not the same in anything but geography. Still, it is an act of flex just to stand anywhere, gravity being what it is. Attempt the volta toward impossible. Midas the lonely into a reddish. Dreams of living life like a gilded parrot. Garrett, flex. The crown of scar tissue, still the crown. Flex. Go to therapy if you're scared. Flex. Shock the fear out of opposition. Flex. Everyday gold for the sake of your attention. Flex. Your here-ness a mountain plumed with trees. Branches hemmed like unplayed notes. A history can be undone with less than an alphabet. Amend the scandal of the time that brought you here. Fled to flex. X, my family fled from Mississippi. My family flexed from Mississippi, and you become the muscle driving you forward. See, you were ugly once because you believed it. Dire invocation I am some kind of unkillable and don't know how to act. Everything I said I couldn't live without. Gone. Lucky me to be born into a language of mistakes. I leave the violent on scene and watch them wither. Turns out I was their gravity, their forgetful sovereign. I flex, they flinch, the sonics of the words, cousins by virtue of a pistol. This is how I was taught to bridle sadness like an American. Run with a band of kids with silver caps, so you know we bad. Waiting for the bone. Eviction, flex like value native to your mouth. Tooth out, a tiny moon, a second grin shimmering in your palm. Flex the loss. The cost is secondary. Hear me. A life I had ended while I was trying to pursue the life I wanted by pursuing a loss cobwebbed as a bride. All of this true. The calcium winnowing under the gold. I widowed my own comfort. I am in danger. My squad an echo. My squad a promise. You get dead someday if you touch me. Thus, I'm untouched. Neglect killed the grass. The dead turn to gold before they resurrect. I am framed by a pastoral I might have escaped once. Oh, the history. Oh, the lineage. The renowned flex of survivors. I'm here. I'm back. Muscled like a creek or the whisper that threads a storm. Miles later. Maybe not. Stick to the facts. I'm alive despite a growing and planetary grief. I wear a chain some days and a sweatshirt that translates to I am coming back for what is mine. Gaudy surprise on the faces of children of owners. They think I am impossible. They think I am a ghost. I, Medusa, like my daddy taught me. Their eyes wilt and are ill-tended grapes consumed by the skull. I'm metaphoring. I told you I don't know how to act, but I know how to anthem. My lyric loose and I got time today. I'm the type of bad no synonym alive can hold. That powerful Flex poem was by Julian Randall, and all of it from Poetry, the Journal, December 2018. We're coming to the end of another show, but it's the first of the golden year ahead of us. Let's make poems. Let's share them with each other. Let's read them out loud and silently. In corners and in libraries and in our bedrooms with the fading lamplight or candlelight. Thanks for being with me tonight. See you next time. The radio spark. Meet me where the most light falls. You've been listening to Where the Most Light Falls with DJ Tamara on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Do go out and get a copy of Poetry Journal. Or pick up a book of poetry by Mary Oliver. Or anything else that you admire. Share it with a friend. Share it where the most light falls.